I want you to open your Bibles with me today to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 3. Now, the title of this message is, Do You Believe God? Do you believe God? Now, I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to you very frankly, very plainly, and very personally. And I'm asking this question. I'm asking the question of myself, too. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Paul asked this question first. Let's take a look at this first. In Romans 4, that chapter that you're looking at there, in Romans 4, the first chapter, fourth chapter, verse 1, Paul asked this question. Look at it. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What has Abraham found? Well, I'll tell you this, he found justification before God. Abraham was justified, that is, declared not guilty. His sins were remitted. His sins were forgiven. His sins were put away. He found justification, justified before God. All right, he found acceptance with God. I know that. Abraham found acceptance with God. He's called the friend of God. The scripture says God spoke with Abraham as a man speaks to a friend of God. Now, two can't walk together except they be agreed. And so Abraham walked with God. He found acceptance with God. And then thirdly, what hath Abraham found? He found righteousness, holiness, true holiness, true righteousness in God's sight. Not in the sight of the church or man or your neighbor, friend or yourself, but God's holiness, God's righteousness. He found righteousness. He had a perfect holiness, a perfect righteousness imputed, reckoned, charged. Now, this chapter 4 of Romans, that word's used about 10 or 11 times. Counted, reckoned, imputed. Abraham had charged to him, imputed to him, reckoned to him by God, in God's sight, righteousness, holiness. Abraham was a sinner like you and me. Abraham was a man of like passion, like you and me. Abraham lived on the earth. Abraham sinned. Oh, yeah. He was flesh, frail flesh. And yet, he walked with God. And yet, he had righteousness and holiness in God's sight. That's what he had. He was accepted of God. He was justified. God could look upon him and see no sin. No sin. How in this world did Abraham, who was a sinner like you and me, find such treasure? How did he find it? Where did he find it? Who gave it to him? How did he find justification before God? Not guilty. I have no sin. That's what he could say. I have a holiness in God's sight. God accepted him. God walked with him, talked with him as a man talks with his friend. How do you find this before a holy God? Well, Paul answers it in verse 3. That's where I told you to turn, Romans 4, 3. He answers this question. He says, what saith the scriptures? What shall we say then that Abraham hath found? Holiness, righteousness, acceptance, justification with God. Well, what saith the scriptures? That's all you have to go by is the scriptures. The scripture says, listen, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. It didn't say Abraham joined the church, Abraham tithed, Abraham kept the Sabbath day, Abraham wore certain kind of garments, Abraham counted beads, Abraham went to confessional, Abraham was baptized, Abraham had an experience, Abraham went to an old-fashioned altar. Abraham believed God. He believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness, justification, acceptance, holiness. He believed God. That's it. Abraham believed God. Do you believe God? I don't ask you, my friend, and I'm not asking myself, I'm not asking, do you believe there is a God? The fool has said in his heart there's no God, and you're not a fool. I'm not asking if you believe there's a God. The devil believes there's a God and trembles. I'm not asking if you believe in God. I hear people say, well, I believe in the Bible. Yeah, but they don't believe the Bible. I'm not asking if you believe in God or there is a God. I'm asking you this. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Do you believe Him? Not about Him or in Him or there is a Him. Do you believe Him? You see, God has been pleased to reveal Himself. He's been pleased to reveal His will, His covenant, His purpose, Himself, His mercy, His salvation. He's been pleased to reveal Himself. A man can know God, you know. Eternal life is to know God. A man can know God because God has not left Himself without a witness. He has revealed Himself two ways. By His Word, by His Son. That's right. By His Word, by His Son. The Lord gave us His Word. That's what the Bible is, the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable, all Scripture, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture, holy men of God. See, the Word didn't come by the will of man in old time, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 17, I have given them Thy Word. Thy Word. And they have received it. Do you believe God's Word? Everybody has a Bible. Do you believe it? That's what I'm asking you. Do you believe it? Is it just a book of Proverbs or a scrapbook where you keep locks of hair and old pressed flowers and photographs and old poems that you like? Or do you really believe God's Word? Is it God's Word and do you believe it? Isaiah said, if they speak not according to God's words, because there's no light in them. So God's given us His Word. I believe the Word of God. Abraham believed the Word of God. He believed God would do everything He promised. God spake to Abraham. He believed His Word. All right, the Lord God has been pleased to send His Son into the world. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Son. The Scripture says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, by His Word, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Actually, His Son came into the world. He came into this world and spoke to us. He said, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me. You see, Christ said, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son hath declared Him. In 1 John 5:20, I love this verse. 1 John 5:20. I want you to look at it. Listen to it. 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God hath come and hath given us an understanding that we may know God that is true, and that we're in Him. That is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking. Do you believe God? The way that God has chosen to reveal Himself. I know the heavens declare the glory of God. I know the stars, the sun, the moon, the things that are made declare the wisdom and glory and power of God. David said, when I consider the heavens, the things which Thou hast made, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? But listen, The only way you can find out God's relationship with you and whether God will forgive sin and whether God will show mercy to the guilty and whether God will pardon and whether God intends to save is not looking at the sun, the moon, the stars, but by looking at His Word or at His Son. See, you can't know the mercy of God and the justice of God and the righteousness of God and the purpose of God and the will of God and the holiness of God by looking at the stars. They're too impersonal. You find that by God's Word, by what He says about Himself, what He says about you and me, what He says about mercy, and by His Son who came to reveal Him. He said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." You see Christ in His compassion, and yet you see Christ in His judgment. You see Christ in His love and in His grace, and yet you see Christ in His holiness and exactness. So the Father is revealed by the Son. He hath given us an understanding. Now, my friends, this is the very essence of salvation. And this is the substance of eternal life, to believe God. Abraham believed God. He believed Him. To believe His Word, to believe His Son. Not to believe there is a God, not to believe about God, but to believe Him. Let me give you an example. Paul on the ship. You remember when he was out there on the ship and the storm had risen, the wind was blowing, the waves, and the ship was about to sink, and all the men wanted to get off that ship. They felt there stood a better chance out there in the waves, you know, hanging on to a board than they would staying on this ship going down with. Paul said, "Sirs, be of good cheer. There stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said to me, 'Paul, not one person will be lost. The ship will be lost, but not one person.' And he said, 'Sirs, I believe there's a God.'" No, he didn't say that. "Sirs, I believe in God." No. He said, "Sirs, I believe God, that it shall be exactly as He told me." You see what I'm saying? You see the difference? I really believe it. So we stay on the ship. We don't move. We wait on God. I believe it shall be exactly as He told me. And that's what I'm saying. True faith. This is the essence of it, the substance of it, in the heart, truthfully, that affects the actions, that affects the walk, that affects the responses, that affects the experience. It starts with this: I believe God. I believe His Word. I believe His Son. That's it. That was demonstrated in Egypt when God said to Moses, "I'm coming through at midnight, and the firstborn in every home will die." He told him, he said, "Kill a lamb, roast it with fire, eat the flesh, put the blood on the door. When I come through the land and see the blood, I pass over you." Now listen, those who believed God's Word put blood on the door and they were spared. Those who didn't died. It was a matter of believing Him. Is this not true, demonstrated by Rahab the harlot, when God would destroy the city of Jericho and she hid the spies, the men of God, and she said, I know God's with you and I know God's going to take the land. And she said, "Will you spare me?" They said, "Listen, God says for you to put a scarlet line out the window. Hang it out the window. And when we come to take the city, you and your family stay in the house. Don't go outside. Stay in the house. Go outside, you're done. Stay in the house. Put the red line out the window." She believed it. Preacher, how do you know she believed it? She put the red line out the window. She stayed in the house. She was spared. She believed His Word. That was it. She believed Him. She believed. This is true of Lot. God told him, "Flee the city. I'm going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Flee the city. Don't look back." Well, Lot and his two daughters fled the city and didn't look back. They believed God. His wife turned and looked back. and she perished. Oh, I tell you, faith is to believe God. And I'm trying to show you that it's not a believing there is a God and believing certain things about God. It's actually to believe His Word and to believe Him. And I really, let me be honest now. You listen to me. Don't leave me. Today's religion, with its excess, with its emotionalism, you know what I'm talking about. I see some of these programs where all these folks are stomping and yelling and screaming and waving their arms and running up down the aisles and blowing in people's face and falling out in the arms of other folks and outward demonstrations and so-called experiences and the wealth of it and the power of it and the confusion of it. It just troubles and disturbs honest people concerning faith, the language these people use. I'm telling you this. Salvation is to believe God in the heart. You see, faith is an individual, personal heart experience. It's a principle given by the Holy Spirit in the soul and the heart where a man believes God. He believes God's Word. He believes God in his soul, in his mind, in his heart. He believes God. Paul said, we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, not in demonstration and showmanship and excess and emotionalism. We worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Not in ourselves, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Not in the fun, but in Christ Jesus. And we have no confidence in the flesh. You see, faith is not dependent on atmosphere. These folks don't act like that at work. They don't act like that in the kitchen. They don't act like that in the den when they're sitting around with their friends. It's just when they come to this atmosphere of religion, pumped up by music and pumped up by some religious leader and pumped up by some promoter. I call them cheerleaders. Faith is not dependent on atmosphere created by music, men, and methods. Faith believes God at all times. These people are in church, say, 2 hours a week. 2 hours a week. And here they are with all this showmanship and emotionalism and excess. Now listen to me. There's 168 hours in the week. What do you do the other 166? Well, I'll tell you what faith does all 168, whether in the kitchen or in the home or on the job or on the street or on the creek bank fishing or at the ball game or down at the church. It walks with God. It believes God. It's not up yonder one moment and down here another moment. It believes God. Faith doesn't need to be recharged constantly by music and religious leaders and scoldings. I hear these preachers always browbeating people and scolding them and chastising them for they don't do this and don't do that and can't get the power and all that. My faith doesn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's not my power. I need His power. Faith believes God. It believes God. I don't have to shout and scream and wave my arms and carol publicly to believe God. I believe God. When I drove up here tonight to this studio, I believe God. When I sat down to eat my supper tonight, I gave thanks. Thank you, Lord. You gave me the food, and I appreciate it. When I came walking up here and sat down over in that chair, waiting for the cameraman and waiting for the studio lights and waiting for the program to begin. I believe God. And I'm up here now. Now, do I put on a different voice and a different frame of mind and a different attitude because I'm in front of you, in front of a camera? God help me if I do. God have mercy on my hypocritical soul if I change one iota here than what I was over there. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Faith believes God. Here, publicly, privately. Faith isn't dependent on atmosphere. It doesn't have to be recharged constantly. Our faith doesn't stand in the tactics, methods, persuasion, psychology of super rich evangelists and revivalists and promoters of self. And that's what it boils down to. And if God doesn't have mercy on this country and turn it around in reference to Christ and the gospel and the Bible and God, we're gone and our children are gone. Because God's not in this carnival of religion. God's not in this rich religious prosperity, organizations and all these things. God's in Christ. And every servant of the Lord throughout the Bible were plain men and simple men and poor men and down-to-earth men and sinners saved by the grace of God, who recognize the needs of people, who recognize the grace of God, who recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as only Savior, and preach to them from his heart in love, not trying to build a kingdom for himself or attain vain glory and praise and prosperity for himself. And God have mercy on them, but he's not going to. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know whom. Not in whom, not about whom. I know him. I know whom. And I'm asking you the question tonight. Today, do you believe God? It comes down to this. Do you believe God? What hath Abraham found? Acceptance, justification, and righteousness. How'd he find it? He believed God. He didn't have a television set. He didn't have a church building. He didn't have an old-fashioned mourner's bench. He didn't have anybody with him. He walked with God, and he believed God. And he walked on the hillside, and he walked on the mountain, and he walked in the valley, and he walked in some trying times, and he walked in the battle, and he walked through the fields, and he walked among his cattle and sheep. But he believed God. He believed God. Comes down to this. I believe what God says about creation. I do. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. What he says about creation beats anything I've read today. I believe what God says about himself. I believe God's sovereign, almighty, eternal, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Don't you? I bow before God, the Lord God Almighty. He's not impotent. He's not failing. He doesn't have a plan that he hopes will work. He's got a plan he knows is going to work. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Is anything too hard for God? I believe what God says about men, about me, about you, about our fall. I believe that. I believe by one man sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all sinned, dead in sin, helpless, hopeless, unable, unwilling to come to God. I believe what God says about his law. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in every jot and tittle of the law to do it. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. I believe what God says about his justice. I believe what God says about his covenant of mercy in Christ. He said, I've made a covenant, an everlasting covenant in Christ Jesus, whereby I'll redeem a people, put away their sins, remember them no more, give them a new heart, new mind, so they'll love me. I'll never leave them. They'll never leave me. I believe that. David died believing it. He said, God, these are the last words David spoke on this earth. God has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, and this is my salvation and all my desire. I believe what God says about the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he's God. I believe he's man. I believe he's the God-man. I believe he's the only Savior, the only advocate, the only mediator, the only prophet, priest, and king. His blood cleanseth us from all sin. His death is effectual, particular, sufficient, He put away the sins of all who believe on Him. He died for our sin, was buried, and rose again. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And He's coming again to receive His people unto Himself. I believe that. I believe God. I believe what God says about the resurrection. Someday we'll all rise in His likeness. I believe what He says about the exaltation of Christ. I believe like the Roman centurion. He brought his son to Christ. Boy was so sick. He said, "Lord, can you do anything for him?" He said, the Lord said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe." Can you believe? Oh, he said, "Lord, I believe. I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief." That's where I am. Are you? I believe His Word. I believe His Son. And I pray, "Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Increase my faith." You see, if you'll read this fourth chapter, verses 10, 11 on down there declares that salvation is by faith. And Abraham later on was circumcised. Abraham left his father's house. Abraham defended the kings, brought Lot back. Abraham gave the best land to Lot. Abraham sacrificed his son. But now, wait a minute. When was he justified? He was justified when he believed God. And he did all these things because he believed God. But his faith counted for righteousness. And that's what I'm asking you. Do you believe God? Do you believe? That's where it starts. That's where it ends. Believing God. Now, if you want this message on a cassette tape, "Do you believe God?" I want you to take it and listen to it again. I know it's plain and firm, but I want you to listen to it. Well, there's two messages on this tape. Here's the address. Send $2. We'll mail it to you. Till next week, God bless you.